Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Mary, that was very good. Thank you. And it is so true. Holy, holy, holy. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and only you, God, can save. Only you can heal. Only you can deliver. Only you builds the church. And they that labor, labor in vain. Only you can give the true treasures of heaven. And so, Lord, we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday night, I ministered and spoke on all the evidence is not in yet. And we looked at, the Bible says, again, another scripture saith. And the author was trying to gather all of the scriptures that pertain to him wanting to make a point. And he didn't leave any of them out. Paul Harvey, how many remember Paul Harvey? He was a wonderful radio person, and he was famous for telling a story, and then at the end, when you perhaps thought it was over, he would say, now for the rest of the story. And he would bring out that last bit of information that seemed to change the whole complexity of what he had said up until that point. I heard something that just immediately pulled tears out of my innermost being. It was a prophet who I was watching called out a lady, did not know her, but the Lord revealed to him that she had been grieving over a loved one, her husband, who had died 4 years earlier. And he called her out and he let her know, you have been grieving over your husband for the last 4 years. He died. Is that correct? She said, yes. He went on to reveal what the Lord had showed to him. He said, you have been grieving for 4 years under the impression he wasn't right with God. And she began to weep. And he said, but the Lord told me to tell you that in the last 15 minutes, as he lay there dying on the side of the road from this automobile accident, he got right with God, and he just wants you to know that. She just began to sob, and I just wept with her, and I thought, wow, what she didn't know had caused her to grieve, and how good the Lord was to let her know some wonderful news that changed the whole situation. You could go through all of the Bible and make this point over and over again. Noah, you've been working on that boat now for 50 years, and you're saying there's going to come rain that's going to float your boat? Yes, yes, it will. And they laughed and they mocked, but one day the evidence came and that boat floated. You could go to the person who was by the pool of Bethesda, had been there 38 years, and no one was ever able to help him get into the water. And I'm sure the thought occurred to him, and others may have said to him, "You've been here 38 years. What makes you think anything is going to change? You haven't gotten any better. You've been going to the same church all this time. You've been going here all this time, and what makes you think?" But all of the evidence hadn't come. Jesus hadn't come by yet. You could consider the lady with the issue of blood for, was it 12 years or 18 years? And saw many physicians and did not get any better. And one could say to her, and with a little bit of logic, "You know, I don't know why you think anything's going to get any better. You've been this way now all these years and have had all these doctors, and things aren't going to get any better." But all the evidence hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't come by. You could go to the person that was laying by the side of the road who had been beaten and left for dead. And as he's laying there, the priest passed by and kept on going. And the Levite passed by and kept on going. And I'm sure the thought could have occurred to him that it doesn't look like things are going to get any better. But Jesus hadn't come yet, and all the evidence hadn't come in yet. And if it's true that we must not make a doctrine or a belief and come to a conclusion until we get all of the passages of Scripture that concern it before we come up with some doctrine that we want to make, rather than let the Bible create the doctrine for us. And how often we hear of a case when someone has been sentenced and they're in jail, and they're living out their sentence, and then all of a sudden we hear of new evidence that has come in. Maybe it be DNA, maybe it be this, or maybe it be that, and they're allowed to bring it back into the equation, and that person is released because all of the evidence hadn't been brought in yet. Not only should we not form our opinions too quickly and allow emotions to settle within us that can make one feel hopeless because we're looking at the circumstances, faith does more than look at the circumstances. Faith looks at the promises of God. Faith looks at the promises because this is better than DNA evidence. Faith looks at the wonderful history of how God has always come through with His people. When Jacob said, he looked at all of his circumstances. He looked at the evidence as he saw it, and he said, "Everything is against me." And yet he didn't know all of the evidence. He didn't know all of the circumstances. When he said, "Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and Benjamin, you're going to take him away," he didn't know that that was not true. That wasn't all of the way things were. Joseph is living like a king, and Benjamin is just being held until things can work out. Job's wife thought she knew all of the circumstances. And when she said to Job, "Curse God and die. We've lost our children. You've lost your health. We've lost all of our finances. You've lost the reputation you once had. And it's over." What she didn't know was that God was going to restore twice, And what she didn't know is God had chosen her husband and their lives as an example that you and I might be benefited by it. I don't believe that Job is the only one that God has ever chosen to use their life as an example and a testimony to bring hope to others. Your trial that you're going through, or that which you are going through, God can be using it as well as a testimony to bring forth answered prayer and glory to the situation. Job isn't the only one that was someone that God is going to use. I believe that God can be using your life as a model, and He will bring through, and you will come forth and rejoicing on the goodness of God. But sometimes it takes years to see the whole picture. Sometimes, because we don't know the future and we don't know what it holds, because it even says in James, we don't know what's on the morrow. That be true, but we do know who holds the future, and we know that He has promised us it will be a good ending. The circumstances that surrounded Naomi, and she had two daughters-in-law. One was named Ruth and the other Oprah, I believe. And we read in the story that both of her sons were killed or died. And Naomi looks at both of them and says, I can't give you any more sons. Go ahead and leave. I'm going back home. They didn't know the future. We know that when Naomi decided to go back home, Ruth says, no, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. And she went with her. And the other one went with her only so far and got to the border and turned around and went back home. Little did they know that there would be a kinsman named Boaz. Hello, Boaz. Little did they know that there would be someone that would bail them out. Boaz, I could use some bailing out. No, I'm just teasing. But Boaz was there, and he ended up becoming the wonderful husband for Ruth. I heard a preacher preach one time and give a very insightful thought that the other daughter, Oprah, had she went ahead and went home with Naomi and Ruth, the Lord would have provided her a husband also. And that husband, he went on to say, was the man that perhaps threw in his shoe and would not take Ruth as her husband, but Boaz eventually did. His point was, is that don't give up, and how some go so far, but they turn around and go back. And that's why he says in Hebrews, don't turn around. God will supply the need for you. For you have need of patience, having received the promise that you, if you faint not. I heard of a story by Gwen Vaughn. I believe he tried out for this church many years ago. But he tells the story, I've never forgotten, of a minister friend of his that felt God called him to go to a certain area and to start up a church. But this man felt, but Lord, I don't have the money to go there and to start up this church. And he felt, Lord, I will need at least, and he had the certain amount of money. I don't remember that exact amount, and I don't want to throw out a number that isn't true, but it was a certain amount. If I was to call Brother Gwen, he would tell me. But he just felt he couldn't go, even though he heard the Lord, and he felt the Lord tell him to go. But because the money wasn't there, he thought, well, he didn't go. And then maybe a year later, he happened to be visiting that area. And a man came up and said, you know what? I felt that you were coming, and when you came, I was going to give you this amount of money. And had he gone, he would have received that money to do what he did, but his faith did not allow him to trust God to go ahead and move forward in what he heard the Lord tell him to do, that the money was waiting there for him. Isn't that a great story? And it is so true. We don't know all the circumstances, but if we would just stand upon the promises of God, and even though we don't understand some things, the Lord will come through. I remember for years I used to wonder why the Lord would show me certain things and I didn't see any fruit out of it. I would get words of knowledge and yet they didn't seem to, other than be sensational at the time, and it kind of made me embarrassed. I didn't see any fruit of it. But then with many of them, it took about 7 or 8 years for those words of knowledge that I had that brought the fruit, but it was about 8 years down the road before I could understand why God revealed what he did reveal. All the evidence is not in yet. This is why we walk by faith. Faith gathers the greatness of his character. Faith gathers the greatness of his holiness. Faith gathers the greatness of his nature and knows that when he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and that he has promised the end of a thing is better than the beginning, and faith believes in the promises of God, this is better evidence than circumstances that you might see or might not see. Unbelief doesn't do this. Unbelief makes a decision that is impatient at best. Unbelief ignores the future. Unbelief ignores the greatness and the character of God. Unbelief ignores his promise to you that he promised to help you. And how often events happen that seem to make no sense. I'm not saying that when a tragedy happens, as in the case of Job, it's time to get theological. I don't think it'd be real smart to come up to Job's wife after she's lost everything and then try to give her a theological reason. I think the scriptures teach that when you come across someone of that grieving, you weep with those that weep. Maybe there's another day for some nice encouraging words. Even Jesus, when he showed up at the funeral of Lazarus, he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And yet we read, "Where have you laid him?" They told him, and it said he wept. One fellow said he wept because he felt the grief of everyone that's ever lost a loved one. And so, but yet he wept. And yet, even though he wept, he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And so, I just want to say, I want you to know that all the evidence is not in, and that it will work out for you, and that God will be faithful. And he will bring things to your path, to your wonderful blessing in your heart. I received a wonderful phone call Saturday that just warmed my heart. You're all aware that we have a grandson that has cystic fibrosis. He has the very serious kind. My daughter and her husband Aaron went to the doctor for a report. And the doctor who has been dealing with CS for, I believe, 16 years. That's a lot of experience dealing with children. But she told my daughter and Aaron in examining little Brocky that, "I must tell you, out of all of the children that I've ever examined with CF, he is at the top of the list. I'm surprised he's as healthy as he is, that he's as well as he is, he's as strong as he is." And then she went on to say, "I can't share with you things that I know, but I see no reason why he will not live a full life and will come to maturity as all of us." It caused him to break down and to weep. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying I am trusting the Lord. I still believe God can heal in spite of that, but I rejoice in what He is doing. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. All of the evidence is not in. And sometimes things happen and you're not able to think because you're just overwhelmed with what you have heard. But may I say, be of good cheer that the Lord is going to work it out. I don't know how He'll work it out. I don't know how He'll do those things. I know that I weep when I pray, and I know that I grieve, and yet at the same time, I look to the Lord and I trust Him that He will bring this to pass. How many know we serve a wonderful Savior? Would you stand with me, please? All of the evidence is an end, but you can reach out by faith. Faith believes God. Faith takes His promises as better than DNA. What are you going through? What is challenging you? May I take the words of Jesus that He said in St. John, the 14th chapter? You know them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. You say, He hasn't come yet, Pastor. I only refer you back to Noah after they mocked after 50 years. The rains did come. He will come. Jesus is coming. Well, what happens until He gets here? Let not your heart be troubled. He will work all things together for good. Can I ask you to come and let's stand this morning and let's look to the Lord? Maybe God is using your life as He did Job's. A lot of people don't read the Bible. A lot of people don't go to church, but they watch your life. And the Bible says that you're a walking Bible, walking epistles, read. You never know who's watching you, considering your life. And God has chosen you to perform a miracle and to do something wonderful for. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that He that has begun a good work in us will perform it. I pray, Lord, for each one here, Lord Jesus, let their heart be encouraged. That though we do not see, by faith we believe You. By faith we trust You. We pray for that. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. You never fail. You never fail. You never lose. You're never wrong. Bless Your people in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. How many have a need you're looking to the Lord to do? Would you lift the Lord? Lift that hand up. God, here's my need. Oh God, have Your way. Bring forth glory, I pray. Let there come forth a testimony out of this. Let, oh God, let You bring forth glory. Use this, Lord. As You did in all of these cases I've mentioned. Jesus, put Your finishing touches on it. Until then, may we have patience and trust You and believe You In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's find a place to pray, shall we? Praise the Lord.
Thank you.